The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 WBOB, The Answer, presents The Still Just Fishing Show with your host, Captain Vic Tyson, Captain Mike Garbo, and Chip Davis. Let's find out where those fish are, what they're biting, and how to get them in the boat. To be a part of this morning's show, give us a call. We're at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Hey, and we're back this morning, and now I've pulled up the marine forecast, and which is better. I'm trying to get this thing set up here. Okay, oh my goodness. All right, I'll tell you the marine forecast in a few minutes, undoubtedly.
That marine forecast has been getting on you today.
I wash my hands and can't do a thing with them. but anyway, this thing's giving me a fit this morning here. There we go. Okay, today, that's what I was looking at, the mile per hour. I'm thinking, wait a minute, 14 miles per hour? That's not the marine forecast. Today, east-northeast winds 15 to 20 knots. Seas 5 to 7, the occasional seas up to 9 feet. Tomorrow, northeast winds 15, 20 knots. Seas 6 to 9 with the occasional seas up to 11 feet. Surfers are going to love that, I guess. And Monday, northeast winds 10 to 15 knots. Seas 6 to 9 feet with the occasional seas up to 11. And then it starts calming down to 5 to 10 knots on Tuesday. So the small craft advisory is in effect through late Monday night. So actually, I'm kind of surprised. I know we were talking off the air here a few minutes ago, but I'm kind of surprised that this northeast wind is supposed to be this strong and this and here, because, you know, that storm has gotten further offshore than what they previously forecasted, which was supposed to give us some pretty big swells and pretty big winds. But if it's northeast, I mean, he could still fish the inside of the north jetties there.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you just have to be out there. Of course, whenever it's high tide, as high as the tides have been, it's going to be pretty rough.
Blowing over the jetty.
Yeah, coming over the top of them, but, you know.
Well, there ain't an ounce of wind out there right now.
No, it was nice this morning.
No.
Yeah, and actually, I got that wind finder. I don't know if y'all use that, too.
Mm-hmm. You talking about the Windy app?
No, well, this one's called Wind Finder.
Yeah.
And gotcha. And then I've got it set for Mayport poles for when I go out and look at, you know, for pogies and stuff like that. And then also got it set at Mayport St. John's River. And they're actually, I've noticed them to be pretty accurate, to be honest with you. I mean, it seems like one of the most accurate apps that I've put on my phone. And they're showing today 9 to 11 knots.
Yeah, that's what they're showing on mine.
And then late this afternoon, 12 to 15. So, and tomorrow they're showing like, 11 to 13, and then late in the afternoon, 13 to 15. So I know they're showing also 7 foot, seas tomorrow at Mayport, and, but only about 5 foot this afternoon. So, you know, looking at these weather forecasts, I mean, the way we do, I know I look at several different, websites on a computer whenever I'm looking at it. I've got like three different websites I look at, and then this, my wife thinks I'm crazy half the time, but I tell her what I try to do is you know, average it out from right. The different ones. Yeah. You see, I mean, even on TV,
yeah,
you know, you watch the forecasters on TV, you know, I watch one channel, and as soon as they go to like the 7 day forecast, mm-hmm. which I don't know why they give you 7 day forecast, it's going to change 20 times.
Yeah.
But, you know, as soon as they have that, they pull up 7 day forecast, I can switch channels and watch the other one.
Yeah.
You know, and you can catch the other one pretty good, you know, the last end of it. Because I don't care, you know, they talk a lot about what's happened today, and I don't care because I lived through it today.
Right.
So, you know, I knew what happened today.
Right.
What I'm looking for is tomorrow's forecast.
That's
each
right.
time, you know. But I'll have to get Rob's phone number from you and send it to this friend of mine that's texting me. And
yeah, he can find him on New Concept Lures on Facebook.
He doesn't have Facebook.
Or yeah, I got you. I'll give him the number for sure.
Okay.
Actually, I can send you his information.
Does he have a website?
Yeah, newconceptlures.com.
Oh, okay. Al, if you can hear that, it's newconceptlures.com. But we'll send you the phone number here in a few minutes.
Nice thing I like about his stuff is just I can get it custom exactly the way I want it.
Yeah, because you do a lot of discussion with him as far as what you want.
Yeah, and he'll build you whatever you want, which is nice. So
yeah, that's good to be able to have somebody do that for you.
I guess I'm going to have to go fishing with you here and show you some spots for the flounder pounder.
Yeah, I'll take it all day.
I'm surprised you're not fishing it.
Unfortunately, I was bummed. I looked at my schedule last night. I was about to write a check and send it in, and I looked at my book, and I've been scheduled for the cystic fibrosis tournament for almost a year now, and I didn't realize it was on the 21st.
Oh, wow.
Or, you know, that the tournament was on the 21st. I was all excited. And the Full of Bull tournament, yeah. I'm also scheduled this year, too.
When is it?
The 7th
of October. Mm. And I really wanted to fish that with my brother this year because we would have had a good time, whether, you know, just going out there and I love to watch my brother catch bull reds.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know when y'all were out there fishing by us, it looked like he had a good time.
Oh, my brother has got a golden horseshoe up his butt. I took him out offshore on the big Viking I used to run, and he's like, I really want to catch a wahoo. 65-pound wahoo, his first wahoo. Took him out to the pier one day, and I go, there's cobia down here at the pier. He catches like a 35-pound cobia off the pier.
Dang.
With a bait caster, with a piece of dead shrimp. I'm like, dude, I tell you what, why don't you just come on my boat and sit there while my clients are on the boat so that, you know.
Or fish the tournaments with you, like you said.
Trout, same thing. He wanted to catch a big trout. We were down fishing over by in a spot I'd never fished before, and I passed it by a lot of times going down towards the restaurant down south of Palm Valley on the, Caps.
Oh, yeah.
So we pull up on a grass line, see some mullet blowing up, and I'm like, this looks like a good spot. Pull out that topwater plug, 7.5-pound trout, bam. I'm like, man.
Yeah, you need him to fish with you on tournaments.
Yeah, well, he fished with us last year on the flounder pounder and had a blast, and I was bummed that I was going to disappoint him more than anything, because he looks forward to that tournament. I mean, I think we placed 5th in the aggregate last year. And, you know, he just had a blast, you know, and he works hard and a lot. So when I get to take him out, it's like, I don't even care if I catch anything. Like with the bull reds, I never touched the rod. I was like, you're up. And he built that one rod. I call it the Jimi Hendrix rod or the Purple Haze rod. It's got snake skin on the handle and funky colors, and I took it out 4 times bull red fishing, didn't get a bite on it. Every fish he caught that day came off that rod. Yeah. We have 4 or 5 rods out, and that one was the one getting hit. You know, he's like, we used to fish tournaments together when we were, you know, the triple challenge and stuff like that. But it's always fun to fish with him.
I only had one brother. I've got 4 brothers and had a sister. She passed away this year. But I only had one brother that fished a little bit. But none of the rest of them care about fishing or whatever. And then I have one that he hunts all over the country. Mm-hmm. And it's a funny story about him going up to Canada one time hunting. He went up there and he wanted to get he's got all these mounts from these animals. He wanted to get him a bear. So they go up to Canada and he's pretty well off, owns his own business and everything, you know. And so anyway, he goes up there and gets with this guide, and they go up to Canada. They get on a plane, this little seaplane, and they ride like 1.5 hours in the seaplane, and they come down in this lake. He's over to the bank and gives them a satellite radio and says, you know, call me now, you know, you're getting into trouble. If not, I'll see you back here in 2 days, you know. So they go walking off, and he said that was an eerie sight being out there and seeing that airplane take off.
Oh, yeah.
He said about the sound of it going off, he got worried about that, you know. And they walk out there, and the first thing they see is this pile of bear stuff that's steaming, you know. And he goes, oh, this one's close. We were right here at him, you know. And he said, I wear a size 10.5 shoe, Vic. And he said, I put both my feet in that footprint. And
wow.
You could see it all the way around.
Wow.
And he said, I asked that guy how big bear. He said, that's probably a good 10-foot tall grizzly. He said, call the plane back. I don't think I need one. He said, I got to thinking about that. If anything happened, it takes 1.5 hours for the plane to get to you.
Yeah.
Then 1.5 hours back.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't need a bear.
Yeah. Do you see Menard's elk?
Yeah.
Wow. That's an elk of a lifetime.
Man. Yeah, it sure is.
That's crazy.
222-8255, and we'll be back right after this.
Endurance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Endurance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Endurance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Stop by Dick's Wings, located at 14286 Beach Boulevard, showcasing football, NFL ticket, and voted number one for trivia in Jacksonville on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Don't forget Texas Hold'em on Monday night. Make it your place for hot wings, cold beer, good times, and their famous boneless wings, smothered with Cajun ranch sauce. Don't forget, Dick's Wings is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder. When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
For the finest custom embroidery and screen printing, call Stitches and Screens. Since 1988, Stitches and Screens has provided high-quality, eye-catching embroidery and screen printing services. Let our creative staff keep your staff, team, or school looking sharp. Call 246-7616. That's 246-7616. Make sure you visit our new user-friendly website at stitchesandscreens.com.
Like, you're a real captain?
Yes, in as little as 7 days, Sea School can prepare you to become a U.S. Coast Guard licensed captain. Sea School has been working with folks just like you for over 40 years. Now it's your turn. Stop taking friends out for gas money and start making money as a fishing guide. You can even write off your boat as a business expense. In Jacksonville, call 904-722-1400 or visit seaschool.com. That's 904-722-1400 or visit seaschool.com. Our motto is, we hold your hand until it holds a license.
Your boat is so big.
And now, let's return to the Still Just Fishing Show with your hosts, Captain Vic Tyson, Captain Mike Darbo, and Chip Davis. If you'd like to be a part of this morning's show, just give us a call. We're at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Don't forget, Durant's Tree Service. Durant's Tree Service. Excuse me, I know they're pretty busy right now, and but if you've got some trees, like I said, I've seen some pretty bad shaped trees that are, you know, split and everything. So, you know, you want to kind of watch those if you got some of those in your yard. A lot of people haven't looked up. I know one friend of mine has a tree leaning in his backyard, leaning over his fence, thankfully, and not as talking about Sean, and it's not leaning over his house, so that's a good thing. But you also have some trees, if you don't look up there and see these splits and stuff like that, you know, you'll think everything, once you get the limbs cleaned out of your yard, you're okay. But call Durant's and talk to them over there. Phone number is 449-2848. That's 449-2848. And talk to them about coming out and checking out the trees, because you sure don't want something, you know, when you get a high nor'easter come through, sure don't want something else to come in there and give you some additional damage. Also want to remind everybody about the Glath Grouper Workshop that's coming up October 9th at the Pablo Creek Regional Library on Beach Boulevard. and October 9th, and they're going to do it from 5 to 8 p.m., and they're going to talk about the and they need to input on glass grouper management, including the possibility of a limited harvest in Florida state waters. So, you know, if you're interested in Goliath grouper or, you know, or the management of them, or maybe even open season on them or something like that, be sure you go there. Give them your input on it.
I'd like to see that one come into a slot.
Yeah, it would be.
Small slot.
Yeah.
Not big. Nothing over 50 pounds.
You know.
Just the small ones. Because I remember years, the small ones were delicious.
No, really?
They're buttery.
I don't think I've ever eaten one.
They're real buttery. Mm-hmm. I like them a lot better than grouper.
And a lot of people say, oh, we don't have glass grouper around here, but we do.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah.
I found that out at the Dames Point.
Yeah.
When that shark got eaten. Mm. That little kid wanted to catch a shark, and he caught one and then gave it right back to a grouper on that Goliath on the surface.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I know there's a video of one about, shoot, it must be 600 pounds or more. Comes up and eats like a 4-foot shark.
Wow.
You know, have you seen that
yes,
on YouTube?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it just comes up and the shark disappears. I mean, he just inhales the whole thing.
Yeah, this was a small shark. You know? The shark was only, you know, a little bonnet head.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it smoked that reel. That reel was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I grabbed him and the reel because he was getting pulled out. I mean, it hit it that hard, and the drag, you know, the drag was pretty tight for a bull red, you know, and he was leaning over, and I grabbed him, and all you heard was zzz, wow. Done. Reel's done.
Man, golly.
Throw that one in the trash.
Wow.
There's a Amelia Island Guides Association redfish spot tournament coming up, 2017, it says, rules. Saturday, October the 21st. So that's the same day as the flounder tournament. So they should have checked on that because I know a lot of people, instead of being up in Amelia Island, they're going to be doing the Flounder Pounder tournament. So anyway, it's going to be at the Amelia Island Marina, which was formerly Amelia Island Yacht Basin. And it's $40 for adult angler, $20 for youth angler. So that's where the spot tournament, I guess, has moved to. And I don't know, you know, since they didn't have a spot tournament here this year, I guess that's going to be an area.
No, they didn't have – that's right. What happened with that?
I don't know. I really don't.
I really don't either.
Wow.
Because it's usually in April, and this was going to be in October. And but anyway, like I said, that's the same date. I hadn't noticed that, but that's the same date as the Flounder Pounder. So it's hard when you get you know, a couple of tournaments on the same day like that, because that's gonna hurt one or the other. But I don't think it's gonna hurt the Flounder Pounder. I think it's gonna hurt their tournament.
Yeah, I think the Flounder Pounder, they'll have over 150 boats easy.
Yeah,
it's such a fun tournament. Yeah. I mean, there's no stress, no strain. I mean, if
and the way it's ran, you know, the check in, the whole thing about it.
You know, I mean, Brian Dufek does an amazing job up
him
there, and his wife.
Yeah,
you know, and it's that tournament is always so relaxed. That's why I liked it so much, and it's for such a great cause.
Yeah,
you know,
and I saw a post Chip made something like $37,000 so far.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll bust it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's when you go fish that tournament, I like the way that they work it with the kids.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and it's, you know, it's fun, and, you know, yeah, we take it competitive. We're competitive with it, but, you know, there's certain people that you know are going to get some big fish, that, you know, and we had a couple big ones come off last year, two of them at the same time, actually.
Yeah.
Which is one of the spots I'm going to tell you to go to.
But, man, and I tell you what, that was the ones they had, you know, in those live wells up there.
Yeah, those were
some nice
That's
flounder.
Impressive.
Yeah, nice flounder, man.
See a flounder come up there that like that to the boat, and your knees start shaking, your arms get weak, all of a sudden you're like, oh.
You know, it really kills me when somebody catches a flounder on my boat and they lift it out of the water.
Oh, yeah. That's. I'm trying to think of who I was yelling at the other day. I'm trying to really remember. I was yelling at someone.
Don't
put it out of the water. I think it was Matt. I think it was my buddy Matt Rittman.
Yeah, I tell him sometimes, you know, if it's 12, 13, 14 inches, you know, sometimes, you know, I'd sling him in the boat. But man, if it's one you want to keep like that.
Yeah, that sucker comes out head shaking, mouth wide open, waiting to spit the hook.
And that hook will come back and hit you. So when that pole's bent. Oh, let me tell you, I had a redfish one day. This woman had not set the hook. And anyway, we were up in this creek, and she's reeling, and that pole's doubled over, you know, and it's like a 25, 26-inch red, you know. And she gets him right beside the boat, And usually I'll get behind the people, but she was sitting all the way, you know, in my jump seat in the back, mm-hmm. and she's sitting in that seat, so I couldn't get behind her, you know, because she's at the back of the very back of the boat, and so was the fish. So I get down there, you know, and I got the net, and I'm sitting there ready, and I don't know if it was lip hooked or if he was just holding on to the bait, but he let go of that thing,
oh.
and that pole come back and hit me across the face and knocked me over the console.
Wow.
I mean, it literally is like somebody just took a board and just slapped you across the boat. I mean, they're like, are you all right? You're all right. I said, I will be in a minute, but not yet.
Yeah. I had one, somebody had a redfish on and they were horsing the fish instead of letting him pull drag. Mm. And I'm standing there with the net and the jig head came out of his mouth and shot back and hit me in the thigh like a bullet. I mean, it was, I was laughing later because I had a nice big black and blue mark there, but it's like somebody shot at a pellet in my thigh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, them things hurt, man. I mean, I was pulling just a jig head one time. You know, when you get them caught and using 20-pound braid like that, a lot of times if you can't flip it out of the oyster, I tell people to reel it as far out as you can reach, grab the spool, not the line, and just kind of slowly pull it. And sometimes that oyster will roll over and the mm-hmm. jig will come out. But this thing wasn't coming out. So, you know, I walked over and started doing it. And as soon as that thing come out, we were so shallow. As soon as it come out of the oyster bed, it come out of the water, and I saw it coming straight for me. I turned my head, and it hit me right in the ear.
Oof.
And, boy, I mean, it was like I was holding my ear. It was hurting, you know. And so, anyway, I'm, you know, fishing later on, and they hadn't said a word to me about it or whatever. I get back to my truck, you know, and I take my hat off. It was hot, you know, hot weather. And I take my hat off, and there's a little bit of blood on my hat, on the bottom of my hat right there. And I look in the mirror on the side of the truck. My ear is like full of blood.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it hit it right at the top of it, you know, right at the top of my ear. And I mean, I don't know if it cut it, if the hook nicked it, or exactly what happened. But like you say, that little quarter ounce piece of lead come flying at you like that.
Ain't no joke.
Woo.
Topwater plugs are even worse.
Yeah, I heard, I think it was Dave one time. Had one that come out and hit a guy in the sunglasses, shattered his sunglasses.
Yeah.
Especially if you throw a little bit too far in the grass. And
mm-hmm.
You get hung up in the grass, and now you're pulling on it, and here comes that thing flying like an airplane right at your head.
Oh, I know, man. It worries me when you got, especially if you got like four people on board, you know.
Cause I was fishing with
somebody's in the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was fishing with Brett Cannon one day, and, we were throwing topwater plugs at Mill Cove, in Mill Cove, and he walked up behind me, and I mean, I smoke that thing when I throw it. I throw it a long ways, and he walked up behind me. I didn't see him, and I caught him right in the hat and the ear, and I thought I knocked him out. It hit him so hard, but I mean, I felt so bad because it just tore through his ear.
No.
I looked over at him, and he's bleeding all over the place, and he's swaying back and forth. It looked like I almost knocked him out. I was like, man, I'm sorry. Just don't walk up behind me. Yeah. You got 18, 19 foot of separation here. We're right. Good to go, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's like, well, keep the boat turned. I was like, all right. But, yeah, I'm that's like,
tilt the motor up. I'll get on the prop.
Yeah, right. Chip Davis is that way. You better stay away from him when he's throwing. He's a big old sidearm caster.
Well, maybe Taylor don't want to get on the boat with
him. Yeah, maybe not. Chip likes to tell that story about when I used to have a lot of Tegna AVs, you know, when I was with Berkeley and an ambassador for him. And these rods were my pride and joy. He broke three of them that day, sidearm casting.
Wow.
Because the boat I had didn't have under the gunnel storage.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, dude, throw overhand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. I know, man. Or seen people like that fishing. I was in the cove one day and this boat was coming up, you know, pretty close to us, but I mean he was far enough away that I was not worried about, you know, anything. But they saw us catch a fish, so he eased up there. And I saw this guy, he went to throw a topwater lure like that. He comes back, pulls that rod clean out of the console.
Oh.
And I mean that rod come up, hit the side of the boat and went overboard, and I thought, you know, well, he's got it on the lure.
Right.
Know? Nope.
Gone.
They sit there and dragged trying to get that rod back. Of course, that's shallow. I don't know why they didn't get it back, but
I'd have jumped in.
He threw it right out of there.
I've jumped in a few times for rods.
We'll be right back.
In
Ed Dean, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, The Savage Nation, Mark Levin, WBOB, AM 600, and FM 101.1, The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The world is wondering if North Korea's next nuclear test will involve a nuclear missile screaming over Japan after the North said it may test a hydrogen bomb in the Pacific Ocean. The world has not seen an above-ground atmospheric nuclear test since 1980. North Korea upending that could push the region dangerously close to war. President Trump is calling Senator John McCain's opposition to the latest GOP effort to pass a health care bill sad and a horrible, horrible thing for the Republican Party, he tweeted. McCain announced Friday he is not voting in favor of the bill, sponsored by Senators Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. Hurricane Maria expected to soon create dangerous waves and strong rip currents along parts of the southeast U.S. coast as the Category 3 storm moves away from the Bahamas and now over open water where storms tend to regain more strength. This is SRN News.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Call 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, now available in Montana. 833-39-BIBLE.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. As a sixth-generation jeweler, a question I get a lot is what kind of watch do you wear? The answer's a Rolex, and there are a couple of reasons. First, when my grandfather gave me a gift for graduating from college, he said, I want you to have something that you'll always remember me for. And he gave me the Rolex watch that I wear today. Now, more than 35 years later, it still runs and looks as good as it did the day I got it, a day I'll never forget. It might be the right time for you to create the same kind of memory, and nothing does it better than a Rolex from Underwoods. Whether it's a lady's or a man's, the watch is waterproof and has the classic good looks that make Rolex the watch people want to own. And at Underwoods, all of our Rolexes carry a 5-year guarantee. So stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra, and let Rolex create a memory for you.
Business is happening every day, all around us. Stay on top of it all with our sister station, 100.3 The Biz.
You're listening to Bloomberg Markets with Tim Fox and Lisa Abramowitz.
Stay up to the minute with Bloomberg Radio.
This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Catch up with the latest news with Gordon Deal.
You're listening to America's First News This Morning with Gordon Deal.
100.3 The Biz.
Stuck in traffic? WBOB has the answer.
Look at that, some smooth driving right now. Roads looking good. As for the weather, about a 50% chance of showers today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and breezy. High 85, 20% chance for tonight and Sunday with an overnight low of 74. High tomorrow, 85 with mostly cloudy skies. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, low 72. Down to 76 right here at WBOB AM 600, the answer.
And now, let's return to the Still Just Fishing Show with your host, Captain Vic Tyson, Captain Mike Darbo, and Chip Davis. If you'd like to be a part of this morning's show, just give us a call. We're at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. What was you fishing? Oh, you say you didn't fish, actually, when you went out. You were just kind of looking at river and
yeah,
stuff like that.
And then Saturday, you know, I fished that tournament. And
how'd you do in it?
I finished fifth. I got big fish. I actually finished third, but I lost a fish. So it dropped me down two spots. So I cashed a check, fifth place, and I got big fish money, so I was pretty happy.
Yeah.
And with the 8-ounce penalty for big fish, I still kept big fish.
Wow.
Wow, that was a nice one then.
Yep. Yeah. So, but there, I think there was like 7 dead fish weighed in because, we just couldn't find no clean water. Yeah. And I never lost a redfish, ever. I can't kill a redfish.
And they're pretty hardy usually.
Yeah.
And all that salinity levels might have.
Yeah. And I even, when I got my 2 fish, I said, let's just cruise. And I never beat my fish up in the live well or nothing. I said, let's go cruise to the river, see if I can get some cleaner water in this live well. But I couldn't get cleaner water in the live well. I couldn't find clean water to,
Where were you at? I mean, was it?
Towards Nassau.
Towards Nassau?
Well, yeah.
That should have been.
Well, we had a lower tide. Dead high was 6:30 in the morning. So as the water, and obviously
going out.
Yeah. And obviously I'm, fishing the shallows, trying to catch upgrade of fish. So you're kind of in that even dirtier water when you're in the shallows, Yeah. So that's why I even took a break and said, I got 2 fish on me right now. Let me run in the intercoastal waterway or towards the river and try to get some cleaner water in this live well. And I just couldn't find it. And he stayed strong. I caught him second cast. So I caught him at 7:30 in the morning. And I'm telling you, perfect hook set, corner of the mouth. He just flopped out. The hook just flopped out. I'm talking about he was probably out of water for 30 seconds. I literally laid him on the board. I just knew he was under 27, so yeah. I just set him in the live well, and he was strong all the way to 11:30, and he started rolling on me, and that's when I really started trying to feed him fresh water and start babysitting him. And
what kind of pump do you have? I mean, do you have to put fresh? Does it pump fresh water in it the whole time?
Yeah, and I don't have recirculating in there. That's one reason why I'm looking at a new boat. I'm gonna take it to Charlie, and we're gonna do some oxygenator or something in there.
Well, and I tell you, there's Keep Alive pumps that I have. I'm thrilled with those things.
Yeah,
I mean, I've kept mullet alive in my boat for 2 weeks, and that's trailering at home every day.
Right.
So
I'm gonna definitely have to do something like that. Like I said, it really hurt my feelings pretty bad that I lost the fish. Especially, I could see if, maybe I gut hooked them or something, or, I had them out of the water for a crazy amount of time.
Well, it's weird because we had a fish that was lip hooked. I mean, it was not even in its teeth.
Right.
It was just in his lip, but it's, of course, the strong part of it.
Right.
And that fish bled and bled and bled. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I hate it when you hook them in the tongue.
Yeah, that's horrible.
But this one, I mean, I looked in his mouth because he's bleeding so bad. I couldn't tell where he was bleeding. And I couldn't see a place where, like, the hook maybe ripped out and then caught into his mouth, caught into his lip, like it ripped out from deeper. Couldn't tell. Hmm. I don't know why he's bleeding that bad. Just some fish, are weaker than others or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, it was it saddened me pretty bad, but it all worked out. Like I said, I'll take what I got. Yeah. It was a good day, fun time.
You get a cat, you get a check in a tournament. It's good.
Yep.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of people who don't.
Right. Yes, sir.
So you have to look at it that way.
Yep. And that's a really fun series, guys. It really is. It's Chris Sensi, he's a director of the East Division. I think he does pretty good with it.
Yeah. It's Yeah, I haven't fished, the El Cheapo, that's been the only tournament I've fished in years. Mike and I did fish the Bull Redfish tournament one year, and instead of doing the show, we went out and did that. But, we caught a bunch of Bull Reds, just didn't get the big one.
Yeah, I got lucky last year with it. Yeah. And but that's a fun tournament, too. It's kind of changes things, I know it's, you got people now. It's not cool to dunk bait, so it's kind of you're dunking bait, but having a good time,
I always think that's kind of funny because as a guide, we have to do whatever it takes to catch fish.
That's right.
And I was kind of when a lot of those guys were complaining that we didn't have any redfish around, and they were saying that they were overfished. I know Vic and I were catching them, and I know John Eggers was catching them.
And Mike.
And Mike Darvo and everybody else, and we were catching them on bait. and that's what they wanted. I've sat mm-hmm. there and looked at fish and thrown artificials at them, and they won't eat. And I love to throw artificial.
And when you clean them,
yeah,
they're packed full of crab.
Yeah.
That's what their bite the bites are. Intestines, the stomach, full of crab.
Well, I can tell you this.
They're not going to chase the topwater. Or, you know, whenever
got a thousand mullet next to them blowing up on mullet, you know, why hit that topwater bait?
You know, well, the other thing is when they're just kind of easing around on the bottom and digging up crabs,
right.
mm-hmm.
it's so they don't have to expend that energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're just full of crabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they're not going to chase a bait when they're that full.
Well, you know? Me and Chip were talking this morning before the radio show, and, you know, people will call me a liar all day long, but I know what I've seen. And, you know, people are talking about our redfish being, you know, a little scarce. But I can tell you I've seen over 150 fish two and a half weeks ago, 100%, without a doubt. My little nephew was with me, Austin.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't five fish. It wasn't 20 fish. It was hundreds of redfish. And, you know, they're just – it opens up your eyes when you go get on a flood tide and really see. And that's mm-hmm. just in one area. You know, you're talking mm-hmm. about one, what you can see with your naked eye.
Yeah.
Imagine all the Spartina grass wheat flats we have here in mm-hmm. Northeast Florida, man. It's just, we got a really, really, really good fishery, I feel.
I do too. Yeah. I mean, I really do. I mean,
do I feel like there's some pressure?
Oh, there's definitely pressure.
Oh, yeah. You know? I still want them to go to one fish.
Yeah, I'm with you, 100%.
And, I've said it before, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
I mean, if they want to go back to one fish, that's fine. They want to keep it with two, that's fine. I mean, you know, I don't want them to increase it
right.
at all. Right. You know, but, I mean, our fishery we have here, all the studies they've shown, and that's the thing about coming to these meetings when they, you know, they have a workshop or whatever, you know, go and voice your opinion, just like the speckled trout workshop they had, stuff right. like that, you know, because they want to hear from the anglers. And, you know, usually I hear a lot of stuff, you know, when people talk to me over the phone or at the boat ramp or at the bait shops and stuff like this, but they won't take the time to, you know, to go to a meeting or whatever you
right.
know, talk about it. But the thing about it is being able to see the fish that we see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here we are at the time when several people have said, you know, the captains are all wiping them out. Well, you know, because we're showing pictures of them on Facebook or whatever. The thing about it is, if they're wiped out, how are we still showing pictures?
Right.
Yeah. You know,
we're still seeing a lot more than what we're catching.
Yeah. And like I said, it's always a touchy subject to touch on. Yeah. Because, you know, some people, everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah.
And mine doesn't mean crap, but I would like to see it go back to one fish. I've told you before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of redfish anyway. You know, I like grilling it, but, you know, flounder and trout are my inshore species I love to eat.
Yeah, that sheephead.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. I'm no good at that.
Yeah, Vic's going to give us a lesson. Yeah, we're going to make him give us a lesson.
It's easier than you think. It really is.
Yeah, we'll hold it to that one this year.
Yeah, about 50 jig heads later, and knocker rigs, me throwing poles. Yeah, it's I hate sheephead fishing.
Let's get Taylor. Is this the same Taylor?
Yeah, I figured I only got like 10 seconds, so I called back. I went to the surf and tried to throw a lure, man. That current is ripping.
Yeah, we've been having some strong tides, yeah.
I wasn't telling anybody, if they're going to go to the beach, they might as well plan going somewhere else because there ain't going to be no beach left. And I've always got a contest out there, but I told them, but they didn't seem to care. I said, y'all got your tent set up halfway, but it's you can see the tide's already coming in, and they ain't even high tide. Imagine a high tide, it's probably going to be the end of the pier.
Right. Well, Taylor, what's the swell look like out there?
I mean, it's probably about 4 or 5 footers. So, I mean, it's pretty big out there, but the current is ripping so strong. I mean, and the wind is pushing the water on, so it's like about pushing about 10 to 20 feet more than normal.
So
you can see it stops breaking, and then the wind just keeps pushing up farther.
So the wind is blowing out there okay already?
It's honking, yeah.
No, really? Okay. And how is the water look dirty?
The water's pretty dirty, and the sea foam's coming up. The brown, dirty foam. It's not a really good day to go to the beach.
No, that wouldn't be. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
I called the music again.
Hey, if you want to hold on, I'll put you in the next break if you want to.
All right. I'll hold on, I guess.
All right. Excuse me. Yeah. We got one more segment to go through, so we'll get Taylor back on here. We gave him a little bit more time than what Chip Davis gives him, so, you know. But anyway, we'll be back right after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Service, located at 5615 West Kinnett Boulevard, Jacksonville. TMS is owned and operated by Charlie. Call 904-573-0480. They're open Monday through Thursday, 8 to 6, Friday, 8 to 4. Closed Saturday and Sunday out fishing. TMS is an authorized warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, Power Pole, Canon, Talon, Keep Alive Oxygen Systems, and much more. TMS sells and installs all electrical products for your boating needs, as well as batteries and charging systems. Go see Charlie and Linda for all your trolling motor needs. 573-0480.
Hi, I'm Captain Mike Darvo of Topwater Action Charters. I'm a local captain who grew up fishing Jacksonville's scenic waterways and would like to put my experience and knowledge to work for you on your next fishing trip. Full day or half day, you'll have a great time enjoying some of our city's most beautiful areas while catching some of North Florida's many species of fish. So give me a call at 904-614-3423 or visit my webpage, topwateraction.com, and like us on Facebook, Topwater Action Charters, 904-614-3423.
Frontline Captain Vic Radio Spot Number 2.
Tired of not catching your share of slot-sized redfish? When you pull your boat out, do you sometimes hear slot reds laughing at you? Let Captain Vic and the Frontline Green Streak Boat make those redfish problems go away. You can reach Captain Vic at vic2fish.com. That's V-I-C, the number 2, fish.com. Frontline Homeowners Insurance can also show you how to make your homeowner's wind deductible go away. Be sure to visit Frontline Homeowners Insurance at flhi.com. Frontline Homeowners Insurance, providing first-class coverage of coastal property up to $13.5 million.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. If you don't have a boat, Browns has the finest docks to fish from. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
And now, let's return to the Still Just Fishing Show with your host, Captain Vic Tyson, Captain Mike Darbo, and Chip Davis. If you'd like to be a part of this morning's show, just give us a call. We're at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Let's get Taylor back on real quick. Taylor?
What's going on?
Hey. Look here.
We're, I guess if I hear the music again, the show's over.
That's right. Yeah.
Tick tock.
Well, I'm heading to B&M right now. Chip said he wanted to deliver these posters. They look really good, man. The last year's posters were pink, but there's no pink this time.
Oh, really? So good. Okay.
Yeah, I think they were, but they're really nice. Whoever drew that, I think he told me, but I don't know who drew that banner, but they did a really good job.
Yeah. Where are you putting them out at?
I'm going to B&M, and then after that, I guess I got to take the ferry across and go to Browns Creek. And he gave me two. He was going to give me a whole stack, but man, I'm like, that's a lot of work. I don't want to go all over Jacksonville.
How much gas money did he give you, Taylor?
He didn't give me nothing. Every now and then, you know, I get a couple chicken wings. One time, I did some work for him, and I went to Dick's and ordered 10 wings. And I said, a beer. And he's like, you get one beer.
Golly.
Taylor, I'm gonna rewrite your contract with Chip Davis.
Somebody needs to. So. But I was saying that surf is so strong. I tried to go out there, and I couldn't get past my ankles because if you go any farther, that current is ripping. It'll knock you down. I remember a long time ago when the hurricane came, I went and played in it. And, man, it'll knock you down and try to get out there. I don't know how people are swimming against that surfing. They got a surf contest. I wouldn't want to surf out there.
It's a little different when you're surfing. It's a little easier.
Really?
Yeah. That board, it's a whole different world.
Yeah, but I thought you got to swim out there to get to the surf.
You do, but I feel like that current don't drift you from the, you know, like you're saying your ankles and your waist, you know, you really feel that current pulling you out. Or when you're on top of the wave or when you're on top of the water with a board, you know, it's a little bit easier to maneuver. Now, you'll definitely feel yourself pull out, but, you know, I'm fat now, so I ain't surfed in a long time. But, you know, Wingo, he's got the hair and everything. I know that sucker go out there. And
not anymore. I'm too old for that stuff now.
Right away.
Did y'all see Jonathan Boston's girlfriend? She caught the first flounder ever. Man, that thing is huge.
Yeah, that was a nice fish.
Palm Valley, she went with her boyfriend's buddy. Yeah, that thing is big.
Huh.
But I haven't really seen that much flounder caught. I guess the hurricane messed up this month.
I think everybody's just keeping it low key, Taylor, and getting ready for that flounder pounder.
I think they're keeping it low key. They're trying not to
Everybody always asks me, Taylor, are you going to fish? Are you going to fish? And I'm like, no, I'm a Chip slave labor helping. it's a lot of work. You get up like 8:00 and you know don't get back to 8:00. You got to unpack all that stuff and then pack it back up. And I think he said he's going to do it differently this year, though. I think he said he's going to try to do a couple raffles in between. Because before, he would raffle the tickets off, and then at the end, everybody's trying to go home. It would take another hour just to do raffles. So I think if he gets half of them done and then half of them after the tournament, we'll be able to get out of there faster.
Yeah.
Also, while you're on Hexer Drive, you know, you're going to pass Whiteshell. You might as well drop one off there at Whiteshell Fish Camp, too.
Oh, yeah. He only gave me two. I think I only took two on purpose.
I'm surprised he didn't call in today.
Yeah, well, he told me. Yeah. I talked to him last night. He said he was going to call in.
Yeah, he probably got busy.
Yeah, he's at work.
Oh, well. All right, well, I guess I'll catch y'all later. You know how, to be in him.
You know how it is when people's got a real job?
Yeah.
What's that?
All right, I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. All right, Taylor.
All right, see you, Taylor.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for the report, too, about the beach.
Hey,
I don't know if you heard that or not, but
I got a text a little while ago from Bert Geiger. He's the one who caught the big fish 2 years ago that beat itself to death in his
in flounder. Live well. Yeah.
And you were talking
that was
about
a shame.
Yeah, and yeah. You were talking about your story, and he's like, "Wow, that story sounds familiar."
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was a nice fish too, and he said it just went ballistic in the live well. You know, and I mean, I've had him do that. Yeah. You know, but this fish just wouldn't stop, and I guess it just, you know, plopping up and down inside the live well.
Well, and I think that there's a lot to that, and I think that recirculating pump keeps fish from doing that. When you're pumping that fresh water in, that water's coming in and hitting them,
mm-hmm.
that I think that does a lot of that.
Well, yeah. I've learned with, you know, because I don't have recirculating pumps, but mm-hmm. I've learned for me, might sound stupid, but I've learned that if you turn down that pressure and just, you know, not let it trickle, but don't have that full force rolling in there, I feel like the fish survive better. You know what I'm saying? I really think some of that hard pressure even gets rid of some of the oxygen in there. You know, could sound stupid, but I can tell you with trout's hard to keep alive for me. So, I kind of mess with it, and I think me and you talked one time about, even maybe it was about the redfish, about opening up the live well lid and, you know, letting that sun or daylight kind of, you know.
It's weird with trout.
Right. And, but I've learned to just turn it down and, you know, keep a little bit of a pressure on it, but not much. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, you know, my fish have stayed stronger with that not busting, the water just pouring in there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's just a remedy I think I come up with, but
I got mine turned sideways, hitting the side.
Yeah.
To slow it down, because a lot of times if you've got bait in there, you know.
Yeah.
Especially with shrimp, if you got shrimp doing circles at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, they're just exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, too. And, you know, that's one of the things I like about that recirculating pump, because, you know, it not only does it keep bait really alive, but when it turns on and it pushes that million bubbles in there, you know, I mean, it really, there's so much oxygen in there. When I put a fish in there, I mean, it's hard to get them out. I have to drain it to get them out.
Right.
You can't reach in there and grab them.
It's also nice when you're fishing shallow, too. It doesn't...
it doesn't pick up mud.
Doesn't pick up mud, and it also doesn't cause as much noise, vibration through the hull, too, when you're super shallow. Well,
and I got the floaters.
Yeah.
You know, there's some that's got the suction cups on the bottom. Mm-hmm. They last for a little while, but they never really stay, you know, the suction cups don't really work that good. But the floaters... When that pump turns on, I mean, you really don't, it's not creating a lot of noise because it's not attached to the boat.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just sitting there floating and running, and only runs for 45 seconds and turns off. That's one of the good things I think about for bait too, because it doesn't create that swirl in the live well. So your bait's not having to swim against it all the time. When it turns on for 45 seconds and then turns back off, you know, you just look in the live well and they're just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that helps a whole lot.
Back when I used to fish tournaments, we had an oxygen bottle.
Bless you.
Thank you. Sorry about that, guys.
We had an oxygen bottle with a little stone on it.
Yeah.
You just pop that in there. And man, those fish came out of there on fire. They were hard to get out of that.
Yeah.
I think it's more oxygen in there than it is in the river.
Yeah.
I mean, to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, as lively as they are. I mean, I actually had, believe it or not, I had some customers, and a lot of times they're like, you know, if it looks like it's going to be a bad day or something like that, you know, I might put first fish in the live well or something, because if we don't get a lot of fish, we can go ahead and let them go.
Right.
You know, if they're like, well, we didn't get enough, you know, because a lot of times you get back to ramp and they're like, well, you can keep them. There's not really enough for us or whatever, you know, and I don't really like to do that, you know, so, you know, I usually, you know, maybe put one or two in the live well. Well, I had one in the live well one time, and forgot about him. And actually, we got back and got the fish, you know, their fish in the cooler. They only kept one red apiece. But we got back, didn't even think about it. I get home, here's this redfish still in the live well, you know. So I'm like, well, you know, he'll probably be all right. Sure enough, the next day, still alive in there, you know. I started to let him go, you know, it was about a 22-inch red. And my customers walking up, and they're like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, yeah, I was fixing to let him go. And they're like, nope, keep him in the boat.
I already caught one this morning.
Hadn't even got on board yet.
Oh,
well, I sure appreciate y'all coming in, doing the show with me this morning.
It's a pleasure with you, babe.
It's a blast.
I had a blast. I appreciate you letting me come in here.
Oh, yeah, man.
Hanging out with you guys. And
I appreciate it, because you make a long ride to get here.
Yeah.
Chip pretty quick, but anyway.
Yeah, I'm not too far. I'm over by the Hooters on San Jose.
That's right.